Are there any children lurking among us? Okay, you can relax for all you parents.
Yay.
There's somebody else's problem for a little while here. Sure is great to be together. You turn to 2 Chronicles, please. 2 Chronicles, chapter 34. You know, the Almighty God, El Shaddai, the creator of the heavens and the earth, he could have decided to make robots instead of humans. Would have been a lot easier for him. Not as much mess. People are messy. No mess, perfect and odor-free. Would have been perfect, but that's not what God desired. That's not what God desired. The God of the Bible is not just a creator. He's a father. He didn't want robots. I think sometimes Christian believers, well-meaning Christian believers, try to do so much work to make themselves acceptable to God, they never take the time to enjoy their Heavenly Father. And what do you think that does to God's heart? He wanted children. He wanted a family. A robot can't say, I love you. Out of the depth of his heart, a robot can't say that. But you can, and I can. Our primary purpose as God's children is not to do great works for him, not to prove ourselves to him, but to enjoy him, to fellowship with him, because that's what the great Father God wanted. And you know what? That's something we can do. It's a free will decision that we can love God and walk with him, and that's what blesses his heart. You that are parents, you'd like your children to be perfect, I understand, but isn't it better when they come and say, Mommy, I just love you? Isn't that better than when they picked up every toy off of the floor? I mean, honestly, don't tell them that. I'm not going to tell them. But isn't that better for your heart?
Yeah.
Well, God is no different. God wanted a family, and families are messy. But that's what God wanted, because it blesses God's heart when we look to him and we say, you know what, God, I love you. That's what God desires. Today we're going to look at the word rejoice in the Bible. There's many places this word is used. We're not going to look at them all, and we're not only going to look at this word. But I was thinking, you know, God has already taken care of the being accepted before him part. God has already made every one of us lovely and acceptable. We're already in his sight accepted. We're already loved, justified, redeemed. He did that. So we don't have to do that. We should accept what he did for us. And then what we can do in our lives is enjoy our relationship with him. That's primarily what God in his heart wants, that fellowship with him. Around 500 or 600 years BC, I don't know which because they all disagree about these dates, there was a very young king. We're going to read about him in 2 Chronicles 34. His two predecessors were evil. Matter of fact, if you ever want to get sad, you can look through the Bible and look up, they did evil in the sight of the Lord. Because there are many more times when it says that than what it says of this king, that he did well. Many years before this king, the one kingdom of God's people, separated because of a terrible situation among them, unbelief, and the entire northern tribes, 10 of the 12 tribes basically, got carried off into captivity a long time before this record. And shortly after this record, after the death of this king, the same thing happened to the southern tribes, what we call Judah today. But in between, we have this record here in 2 Chronicles 34. And look at verse 1. It says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. Now, Trevor's what, 10? Right, Trevor's 10?
Yep.
How many of you would like Trevor to rule our country? He's a good guy. Jay, you heard me say that, right? For the record. I did say that about Trevor. But do you want him to rule the country?
No.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't want to rule the country either, by the way. But he was 8. So obviously he had some help when he was 8 years old. But when he was 8 years old, he began to reign. And look what it says. He reigned in Jerusalem 1 and 30 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Hallelujah! He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. It doesn't say that many times. I think it's maybe about 12 times that I remember it says somebody did right in the sight of the Lord. Wow. Sad testimony of people. But again, remember, God gave people free will. He didn't want robots. He wanted people who by the freedom of their will could decide to love him, could decide to serve him. And it says he did that which is right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of David his father and declined not to the right hand or to the left. In other words, he walked according to God's word. He walked the way God wanted him to. Now let's go down to verse 8. Now in the 18th year of his reign, so he was 8 when he started. How old is he now?
26.
Thank you, 26. When he had purged the land and the house, that's the temple, that means he got rid of all the idols that people had set up, even in the temple. He sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. Because it had gotten into disrepair. It had been so neglected that the very temple, the place where God said that he would meet with his people, was completely in disrepair. That's a situation that Josiah walked into. Go down to verse 14, please. Verse 14. And when they brought out the money, you can read this record yourself, your Bibles work at home. When they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. So here they are, going through the rubble in the temple, cleaning things up, restoring things, taking out the idols and everything, and they find a scroll of the word of God. You know, it just gives me chills right now to think about it. This had been lost for years and years, and finally, here it is, a scroll of God's word that they found. Isn't that incredible? Well, it says they found this, and book of the law given to Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. They found the word of God. Just imagine what that would have been like. Well, we think that's what this record in Jeremiah is referring to. Go to Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah lived in very tumultuous times. He also was young at this time when King Josiah ruled. He was alive at this time, best we know, when this record, this book, this scroll, a book of Moses, was found. And you probably know the record, Jeremiah 15, look at verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Can you just imagine if we didn't have Bibles? Like today, it's so easy. I know I always mention it, and it does now have tape all over it. But my $1 Bible from the dollar store has the Word of God. In here is the Scriptures. This is the Word of God right here. I know it's the King James Version, and it's a little messed up in here. But it's available to me. It's available to many people of this world. It's so available. Then they didn't have that, and the Word of God was lost. To be honest, even though we have millions of copies of this thing out there in extent, still the Word of God is lost in people's minds just because they either don't know it or they neglect it. And we have those words of God. And so like Jeremiah, we could say thy words were found and I did eat them. Just think of what a beautiful picture that is. The words of God were found and he just ate it up. Oh my God, this is God's word. This is God's word. And he read it and he read it and he read it and he thought about it. And then it says, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I'm called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. You know, they call Jeremiah the weeping prophet. That's not from the Bible, but I understand why. He had a hard life. This guy stood for God in the midst of tremendous, tremendous darkness. He stood for God with and endured terrible hardship, torture. Yet, when the word of God was found, even through the life that he had, it says it was the joy and the rejoicing of his heart. One thing we can joy and rejoice in is God's word. Go to Psalm 107, the one that I almost started singing today. That would have been disastrous. Psalm 107. It was the joy and rejoicing of his heart. I bet the golden censer and the candlesticks and all that stuff, they were nice to find. But the thing that rejoiced his heart that they found in the temple was God's word. Verse 20, he sent his word, and what happened?
Healed
them. That word of God hasn't lost any bit of its power. No bit of the power of God's word has degraded through the years. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Verse 21, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. That's the heart of God, see? He didn't want robots. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. God is thrilled with any one of us that looks up to him and says, I love you, God. Thank you for what you've done for me in my life. That they would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifice of bulls and goats.
No.
What does it say? What's the sacrifice that would delight him? Sacrifice of thanksgiving. And declare his works with what? Today, the most people think of sacrificing is giving up ice cream at Lent. You know, I gave up jelly beans because I wasn't allowed to have them anyway. Big whoop, right? For God, big thing I was sacrificing. As a Roman Catholic, many of you don't know what I'm talking about. A lot of you do. But he says the sacrifice of praise. Oh, if men would just praise the Lord for his goodness. And it says that we would declare his works with rejoicing. Isaiah 58, please. Isaiah 58. You know, there's a lot of things that we can do in this life. Please don't neglect taking the time just to enjoy your Heavenly Father, just to love him, just to thank him and praise him for his wonderful works to the children of men. For the great things that he's done, just in your life, just in my life. For the things that we find on the answered prayer side of our prayer list. 58:13. I know I've shared this verse a lot. It's my new favorite. Verse 4:13, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath. That means if you turn to do the things of God on the Sabbath. From doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight. Remember what the Sabbath was? The Sabbath was a day that God had set aside for the children of Israel to think of him, to rest, to relax, to take it easy, and to think of him, to love him, just to be blessed, to talk of the things of God. So he said, on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight. Not from doing your, let me read this again because I didn't read the whole verse. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Aren't you kind of tired of your own words by now? I am. But he said, verse 14, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. You know, in the world, there isn't a whole lot of things to delight in. You might get a new iPad, a new car, a new haircut. Nathan got new shoes. All God's chillin' got shoes. But you know what? Those last, you can happy for a while. But God says, delight in the Lord, and I'll cause thee to ride on the high places of the earth. You're going to do great, he says, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, the things that God had promised to them, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken of it. Go to Luke chapter 6, please. See, we have God's words and God's works for us to talk about and for us to delight in. Let's not focus so much on the other things, the responsibilities that this life brings, and forget and forsake the works of God, the words of God, our Heavenly Father, just for us to turn around and to say, I love you, God. Keep looking at the ceiling. I mean, I know God is in us and he's everywhere. But thank you, God. And speak in tongues, it melts his heart. It's worth taking that time because that's what God desires of this whole thing. That's what he gets out of it. He's not looking for us to be perfect and odor-free. He's looking for us to love him, to praise him, to bless his heart and to fellowship with him. Verse 22, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake, you know, because of Jesus Christ. Ever happened to you? It happened to me. It's not pleasant. It's not pleasant when people reject you, when people talk evil about you. It's not pleasant. Rejoice, verse 23. Ye in that day and leap for joy. Are you kidding me? So people are ridiculing me because of what I believe. And he says, leap for joy. God's perspective is a lot different from ours sometimes. Leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. We can rejoice because we have rewards in heaven. You know, this short little life that we have today is short and it's little compared to eternity that we have with our Heavenly Father, and there's rewards. So we might walk through a little bit of tribulation in this life. There could be some people that ridicule us. They might say, oh, you believe in that Jesus thing? Someone sent me a text last night that an unbeliever said to them, and it was very hurtful, and they accused God. That still happens out there in the world. But what we have is to rejoice in God. They're going to get theirs, and it's not pretty. We're going to get ours, and he says, leap for joy. John 16. Go to John chapter 16. He's going to get his. John 16. It's part of our hope. The devil's going to get it. He's going to get it. John 16. We can rejoice because God loves us. I want to read these verses in John 16. You have nowhere to go, so just relax and read with me, okay? Verse 16. A little while, Jesus Christ talking to his disciples, a little while, and you shall not see me. Everyone there? Praise the Lord. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what's this that he said to us a little while? And he said, you not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me. And behold, I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what the hell is he talking about? Now, they're a little confused. They didn't understand. What is this that he saith a little while? We can't tell what he's saying. Not just people. Oh, well, verse 19. Now, when Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, said unto them, dudes, do you inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me? Are you asking about that? You know, sometimes we still think of Jesus as sort of like a God on a stick or something. You know, he was just a human being who lived perfectly, had perfect sinless life. But he was a human being, and here he was, and we just have to see he had this human interaction with the people that he ministered to. These were the disciples. These were his friends. And he says, you know, you guys, are you wondering about what I'm saying? Well, then he tells him how kind. Verse 20, verily, verily, I say to you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. He says, I'm going to leave you and the world's going to be happy I'm gone. And you're going to be sad. But guess what's going to happen to your sadness? Your sorrow is going to be turned into joy. Verse 22, a woman, when she's in travail, you know that means having a baby, hath sorrow because her hour is come. She wants that baby out. By that point of 9 months, she wants this thing out of her, right? Here's a big button word. As soon as she's delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Verse 22, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. What a perspective. Verse 23, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Look at all these things it tells us in here about joy. That we can have joy because of our reward being in heaven. That we can have joy because Jesus Christ is coming back. And, of course, they were looking forward to something that you and I already have, the new birth. Verse 25, these things have I spoken to you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you. So many good Christian people don't believe that. But the Father himself loveth you, Carrie. He loves you. He loves you, Jeff. The Father loves both of you, Jeffs. The Father loves you, Leonard. You, Melissa, you know what? The Father loveth you. He doesn't just love the rest of us. He doesn't just tolerate Robin from day to day, or, you know, Laura's okay sometimes when she does stuff right. The Father loveth you. Yeah, William, even you. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. And then his disciples said, Now we understand what you're talking about. Thou speakest plainly and no Proverbs. Nope. God is not mad at us. God is not waiting for you finally to rise up in your life, Grant, to be something worthwhile. God is not waiting for that. Because you know what? He already made you perfect, Juanita. Nicole, in God's eyes, you are perfect. I know our walks are not perfect, and praise the Lord, we're working on that. But he's happy and blessed every time that we try. Every time that we look at him and say, God, please just help me a little bit more. Let me do something great for you today. You know what he desires, though? Moshanta malakasito. That's what he desires. We speak in tongues and fellowship with him. Romans chapter 5. We can rejoice because we have peace with God and access into his grace and hope. Romans chapter 5. I wanted to teach on rejoice because there is a lot of negative stuff out there. There's a lot of evil tidings. You notice?
Yeah.
There's a lot of that. And it sort of seems to be what people want to talk about right now. Well, we don't have to. The more we talk about, the sadder we get. But the more that we think of God and the great things of God, of his words and works, we can rejoice with great, great joy. Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, by believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Wow! We have peace with God. We have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand. This rejoice in this verse means boast. We boast. We boast, it says, in the hope of the glory of God. See, we are in harmony with Him. We're not trying to get our lives lined up to get in harmony with God. We are in harmony with Him. He created in us His perfect spirit, which is in perfect tune with our Heavenly Father. And so, therefore, we're already acceptable to Him, like it says in Ephesians. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And here's something else. We can have mutual joy among the believers. And this is a great blessing and a wonderful thing that God has given to us. And I think we're pretty good about that around here. Somebody prayed tonight about the mystery. You know, that's what God wants out in the world right now. He wants His people thinking and living the mystery, the mystery. You won't find a church that even talks about the mystery. But here we are, the church of God. God, just the few of us, and there's more, I know. That's what God wants. That's the thing that He sent His Son for, that we not only just could accept God, that we not only could be acceptable, that we could live for Him, that we could enjoy Him, that Jews and Gentiles previously could be part of the body of Christ of the royal household of God. That's what He wants. Well, it's up to us if we want to accept it and rejoice in the things of God. It would bless His heart. Philippians chapter 2. This just shows me the incredible heart of a man of God. Verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Now look, we still live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Quite frankly, things have been degrading ever since Eden. The Bible tells us that, right? Things have been getting worse ever since man left Eden, right? So that's the world that we live in. We can look at it and get sad. Or we can decide instead that we are the lights of the world and shine. Don't look for the world to make you happy. Don't look for the world to give you something to rejoice in, something that's going to bless your heart. Let's look to God, and then we are the lights in the world. We give them something that can lighten the darkness in their lives, because you are acceptable before God. You and I have His Holy Spirit. We're in harmony with the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And we have the privilege and the blessing of giving that light to other people. So it says, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Here the Apostle Paul is saying, look, I came to you, Philippians. Remember what kind of book Philippians is? Reproof, right? So it's kind of interesting. He says, look, I came into town. I had a really rough start. You want to read about it in Acts, like around chapter 16? Remember, he got jailed, got beaten. It wasn't an easy start. But he came there with the love of God as a light. And he says, I want to rejoice and boast that I didn't run in vain. Look at verse 17. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause do you joy and rejoice with me. Don't you just see the beautiful, incredible heart of the man of God here? He just pours out his life as a sacrifice for their believing. That's what a man of God does, pours out his life. I mean, many of us as believers, that's what we do. We pour out our life to bless people. Because in that day, we can rejoice. And today, we can have that mutual rejoicing together. What a blessing to my heart to be with you today. What a blessing for you to be with each other here today. What a blessing that is. We should revel in that. Enjoy that. It's going to be a little better than your book club or your racquetball club or whatever else. You know, if you're not serving God and having joy, something's out of bounds. I remember Dr. Werwell said in his last public teaching, which was called The Joy of Serving, he said, if you haven't got the joy of serving, you miss something in the Word of God you ought to put on. Something in the Word of God. Because that joy we get from God's Word, that joy we get from the mutual believing of us as believers, that joy we get from talking of His words and works, and of the wonderful things that God has done for us. And that joy that we get because the Father loves you. Those are joy. Those are things for us to rejoice in. Let's take that time to enjoy it. There's too much in life that we think we have to do. Really? The only thing we have to do? I don't know. I guess there's things we have to do. But Christ is coming back and we can't even change that. So that's taken care of. Don't worry. Let's prioritize that we give some time to our Heavenly Father, not to show how great we are, not to prove ourselves to Him, but to enjoy His fellowship and to enjoy the fellowship of the believers. Philippians chapter 4, okay? Well, we're right here in the neighborhood. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. We almost sang that song. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say what? Rejoice! Rejoice! He wants us to rejoice. It's kind of interesting. The epistle to the Philippians, a reproof epistle, and an epistle, if you read in Acts, was very hard for him to get to them. A lot of work they had to go through, a lot of hardship to speak the word to them. And in this epistle, joy and rejoice shows up numerous times. How cool that is. How awesome it is. We have hardship in our life. It's a part of living in this world. And until the Lord returns, we're going to have hardship. Remember what it says, unfortunately, in Psalms, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But let's not forget the second part of that verse. Anyone know what it says?
But the Lord delivers them out of them all.
But the Lord delivers them out of them all. Jesus, for instance, didn't say, I ask that you take them out of the world. He said, God, but that you deliver them from the evil one. You know, we have a job in this world. Yes, we do. We have stuff to do. But first and foremost, let's rejoice. Let's enjoy the fellowship of our Heavenly Father. That's the thing that rejoices His heart. Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. I just love this book of Isaiah more and more lately. Isaiah chapter 8. You know, we might have dark days, and we do. We might have sorrows, but just like a woman in travail, we've got great joy coming, great joy. But let's also not miss the joy that we have in this life. Let's not miss the joy and rejoicing that God desires for us and how we can rejoice His heart. Isaiah 8:11, for the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people. You know, this poor guy, the people who were supposed to be believers weren't believing. They weren't doing God's word. So God says, you know, don't bother with them. Don't walk in their ways. And then He says in verse 12, say you not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. You know, in the King James, this isn't great. But actually, the New King James is better. Do not say a conspiracy. That word confederacy means conspiracy. Anyone hear the word conspiracy lately?
A lot.
Yeah, a lot. There's all these conspiracy theories out there, and some of them are kind of humorous, what people have come up with in their minds. And maybe there are conspiracies. There probably are. But it says, don't say a conspiracy concerning all this people call a conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. Here's another version. Don't call everything a conspiracy like they do, And don't live in dread of what frightens them. There's a lot out there. People are sad. People are looking around and they're saying there's problems. Well, there are problems out here in River City, but guess what? There's a day coming. And you and I have the opportunity to be in harmony with our Heavenly Father, to enjoy the benefit and the blessings of fellowship with our Heavenly Father, and then we're lights to the world. When we go out into the world, we can impart a little bit of light in somebody's life. In Jeff's fellowship, they're sharing stuff about how they got into God's Word. I know we did that. We never finished, so I'm glad Jeff picked it up. We were doing that a couple of years ago, remember? People shared. Well, it was kind of cool to hear Juanita and Jeff shared in recent weeks of how God worked in their lives. And one thing Juanita said was, is it okay if I share this, Juanita? Thank you. One thing Juanita, of course, they can get it on the drive anyway and hear you say it. One thing that Juanita said was that she looked like somebody who didn't really need help. But in her heart, she really wanted it. And she got to the place, even in her life that looked so perfect, she got to the place that she said, God, I need you. I'm drowning down here. Those are my words, not hers, okay? You can listen to her sharing. Those people out in the world, even that look so perfect and odor-free, even they have issues. And we have the light of God's word that we can share to them. So let's first make sure we enjoy it, okay? Let's first make sure that we have fellowship with our Heavenly Father. 1 Peter chapter 1. And the fellowship that we have with each other is something not to be taken for granted. Go ahead, if you dare, go ahead and hang out in some Christian religious circles around here or not around here. See if it's like this. It's not because we're so great, because we're just people. But we do believe God's word. We do have fellowship. We do have that joy. We do live the mystery. And that's what God wants. And we have something great to offer any person in the world. We can help any person that wants help. Because we have the one who helps, God. Well, in 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 3, blessed, well, I like that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively or a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. God got us a living hope. Verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. I know the stock market's had a good run lately. I guess it hit a high sometime recently. You know, so all of you who are invested in all of your stocks and bonds and all that stuff, you know, it's looking kind of pretty. Tomorrow at night might not look so good. I'm not like giving you a prophecy here, okay? You don't have to put all your money in gold or, you know, hair products. But it says we have an inheritance. An inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5, who are kept, guarded, protected, preserved by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein, verse 6, ye greatly rejoice. Well, yes, of course we do. Because my little nest egg, or whatever you want to call it, it might crack. But I have in heaven reserved for me an inheritance. And it's just growing and it's not fading away. So wherein we rejoice, verse 6, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Amen? Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, you know what that means? The genuineness of your believing. It doesn't mean that God's trying you. You know, Becky, let's see if you can make it today. I think I'll make it a little bit harder for Melissa today. Just today to see if she can. He's not trying to crack you. But it's the genuineness of your believing. Being much more precious than gold that perisheth, but be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Then it says, whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Because Christ is coming back. Christ is coming back. You might get fired tomorrow. You might have a bad hair day. Your child might dump all the Fruit Loops on the floor, and you have to clean them up. Unless you get one of those iRobots. I hear they do that. It says, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. You know what that means? Receiving the result of your believing, which is salvation, complete wholeness. That's what we get. That's what's waiting for us. And so in our life today, please, let's just enjoy God. Let's just take the time. Let's get out of the conspiracy theories. They're going to be floating around from now till the Lord returns. And things won't necessarily get better. I hope they get a little better, but I don't know. What if they get worse? Is it going to make your life miserable? That's a decision you and I have to make. But the Word of God says we can rejoice in the Lord. We're the ones that decide. Let's see, conspiracy theory or God? I can make that decision thought by thought. And yes, there are temptations. Yes, there are trials. But yes, there's God. And he desires to fellowship with us. He desires to have us fellowship with each other. So, it says, we greatly rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. God's word causes joy and rejoicing. We can rejoice because we have rewards in heaven. We can rejoice because God loves us. We can rejoice because we have peace with God and access into grace and hope. We can rejoice in the mutual believing of the believers, the joy that we have together. And of course, we can rejoice because we are kept reserved by the power of God, protected by the power of God, and the result of our believing, salvation, full wholeness. No wonder it says in Thessalonians, rejoice evermore. So let's rejoice, okay? Want to shout, yeah?
Yeah!
Yeah!
Yeah!